Would you turn with me to John chapter 14? I'd actually like to begin reading in John chapter 13, beginning in verse 36. John chapter 13, verse 36. Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, whither goest thou? Jesus answered him, Whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. Peter said unto him, Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake. Jesus answered him, Wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice. Let not your heart be troubled. Remember, the chapter divisions were placed there by men. You're going to deny me three times. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God? Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. Mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And I truly believe that he is saying, I go to the cross to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, you know. And the way, you know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest. And how can we know the way? Have you ever had someone say to you, you know, and you think, no, I don't. I really don't. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way. That's what I'd like to attempt to speak to you this morning on. I am the way. Infinite truth is contained in this four-word statement by the Lord. Four words, all of them monosyllables, with the largest word having only three letters. I am the way. If you're lost, what you need to know is the way. I am the way, our Lord says. Not, I will show you the way. Not, I will be your guide along the way, but I am the way. I myself am the way. A way is the road between point A and point B. It is the distance from one place to another. How far is the distance between you and God? Christ is the distance. I love that song we sing, oh, the love that drew salvation's plan. Oh, the grace that brought it down to man. Oh, the mighty gulf that God did span at Calvary. Christ is the way to the Father. He said, no man cometh to the Father but by me. He is the way from sin and misery into the very presence of God Almighty. He is the way into the Holy of Holies. Christ Himself is the way. Notice He says, I am the way, not I am a way. I am the way, the only way, the exclusive way. There is no other way to the Father. We're warned by the Lord, wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And many there be that go in thereat. You see, the road to hell is a wide road. There's plenty of room for the intellectualist and the emotionalist. Plenty of room. There's plenty of room for the drunk. There's plenty of room for the legalist. It's a broad, wide way. Broad is the way that leads to destruction. Again, the Lord warned us in John chapter 10, verse 1, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other, what? Way. The same is a thief and a robber. Now when he says, I am the way, he completely excludes all other ways. I am the way. So much so that if you're on the way, you're already there. You've reached the destination. It's not just a way you're walking along and hope to get there. I am the way. If you're on the way, you're there. Now, how were the disciples of Christ first described in Scripture? Somebody says, well, they were described as Christians. Yeah, they were. Described as believers, yes. But you know how they were first described? People of the way. Let me read some scriptures to you. It was said of Saul of Tarsus, if he found any of this way, whether they be men or women, that he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. We read in Acts 19:9 of those who spake evil of that way of Christ before the multitude. We read in Acts 19:23, there was no small stir about that way. When Paul gave his testimony in Acts chapter 22, verse 4, he said, I persecuted this way. This is what I persecuted. I persecuted this way, even unto death, binding and delivering into prison both men and women. Christ said, I am the way. God's people were called people of the way. This way is the way of salvation. The way to God. The way you can get to God. Now listen to me. Christ is the only one tall enough to reach heaven. He's the only one. And the only way you'll get there. And you're there already if you're on the way and in the way. The way of salvation from sin. The way from ruin to redemption. Now what I'd like for us to do is consider what God's Word says concerning this way. Christ said, I am the way. Not just I'll show you the way. Not just I'll be your guide along the way and I'll give you good directions. He said, I'm it. I'm it. Now let's see what God's Word says about this way. There's some seven or eight different descriptions in the Word of God regarding Christ being the way. Now the first scripture I'd like to call to your attention is found in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 15. You can turn there if you want, but I'm just going to quote the phrase. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 15, we read of the right way. The right way. Excuse me, I think that's 2 Peter 2:15. I've got 1 Peter 2:15 in my notes, but I think that's wrong. It's 2 Peter 2:15, the right way, as opposed to the way of Balaam, the right way. He speaks of those who have forsaken the right way. Now, there is, beloved, a right way. And there is a what? Wrong way. There's such a thing as a right way, and there's such a thing as a wrong way. The wise man said in Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man. Makes sense. But the end thereof are the ways of death. Now don't kid yourself, there is a right way and there is a wrong way. And what happens if you go down the wrong way on a one-way street? You're stopped. You can't get the right way going the wrong way. If you go the wrong way, you will not end up in the right place. It's really very simple. There is a right way and there is a wrong way. Christ Himself is the right way and all other ways are wrong ways. Now, listen to me. Somebody says, you know, there's an element of truth in all religions. No, there's not. No, there's not. They're all founded on the wrong premise. They're all founded on a corrupt principle. There's only one way to the Father. That's the way of Christ. All other ways are wrong ways. Now here's another description we read in the Word of God. In 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, we read of the way of truth. Aren't you thankful that there is such a thing as truth? Absolute, non-negotiable truth. The way of truth. Christ went on to say in John chapter 14, verse 6, I am the way. You know what He said next? I am the truth. I'm it. I'm the truth. It's not just a proposition. It's more than that. I myself am the truth. The only way you and I can know the truth is by seeing the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'm talking about the truth concerning who I am. How am I going to know who I am?
Yeah.
Well, the way I find out who I really am is by seeing Christ hanging on the cross by faith, and I see how bad I really am. Now, I can talk about how bad I really am and so on, but when I see that the one time man was left to do what he wanted to do, when God took the restraints away and let, and you would have been right there with him. God leaves us to ourselves. And the one time holiness walks upon this earth, true holiness, and man is left alone to do what he wants to do, he nails him to the tree. I find the truth regarding myself in Christ crucified. I find the truth concerning who God is in Christ crucified. I see His holiness. I see His justice. I see His mercy, His grace, His love, every attribute of God is on full display in Christ. He is the truth. I see the truth concerning salvation. He is salvation. The only way I can be saved is by what He did. I see the truth. That's just the truth. The way of truth. And we read in both 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 21, and Matthew chapter 21, verse 32. You can jot these down and look them up, because I want to go through these rapidly. We read of the way of righteousness. Christ said, I am the way. He is the way of righteousness. Now, what is righteousness? Is it a relative term? Different to different people? Absolutely not. Righteousness is a perfect standing before the holy law of God. That's what righteousness is. It's a perfect standing before the holy law of God, a perfect obedience to the holy law of God. How good do you have to be to come into God's presence and be accepted? You have to be as good as God. He's going to judge the world, the Scripture says, by that man whom He hath ordained. Set beside Christ. What do you look like? You say, well, there's no way. There's no way that could. Yes, there is. Yes, there is. There is a way of righteousness. Now, question. Can you achieve a righteousness like this? Can you, through the grace of God enabling you, keep the law? Oh, it's not me, it's grace in me, but I'm By grace. Can you achieve a righteousness like that? Now be honest. How have you done? How have you done? Now if you have any honesty at all, you're lying to yourself if you say you can. I'm sure of that. No. How can I have this righteousness? When the Scripture speaks of this way of righteousness, this is a reference to, listen to this word, the imputed righteousness of Christ, the perfect obedience of Christ, the righteousness of Christ imputed or counted or charged to my account. Where God sees me, He sees one as perfectly righteous through and through. The sins of God's people were placed upon Christ. He was made to be sin, He who knew no sin. What the Scripture says. If you would have talked about being a sinner to him, he would have heard the words, but he really couldn't understand at this time because he knew no sin. He couldn't relate to being a sinner any more than you can relate to being perfectly pure and holy. Can you even imagine what it would be like to not have a sinful thought? You can't even fantasize about it, can you? Well, Christ couldn't even fantasize about being a sinner. Couldn't. He knew no sin. Yet he was made to be sin, that we might be made, what? The righteousness of God in him. Paul said in Philippians 3, 8, 9, "Oh, that I may win Christ and be found in him." Not having my own righteousness. I don't want to have anything to do with that, because I know I don't have it. Paul says, "Oh, that I may win Christ and be found in him when God comes looking for me." There's only one place I want to be found. Somebody says, "Oh, I'd love to be found on my knees in prayer. Oh, I'd love to be found reading the Word. I'd love to be found witnessing to somebody or preaching or praying." And you know I would. I'd love to die while I was preaching. That seems like that'd be a good way to go. Paul says, "No. We just sang it. When he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before God's holy throne." The way of righteousness, justification by an imputed righteousness. Not mine. Not mine. His obedience. You know, righteousness is called in Romans 5:17 a gift. The gift. It's not something I personally achieve. It's something God counts to me. He's got the authority to do it. He's got the authority to do it. In Luke chapter 1, verse 79, we read that this way of righteousness is called the way of peace. The way of peace. I'm going to use a dear lady from our congregation to illustrate this. She was in a car wreck with her husband, and her husband was unconscious. And she was laying there. They brought the ambulance to pick her up, and she thought she was dying. And she said, the Lord brought that scripture to my mind. I remembered it. "Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin." And she said, "I had such peace." Amen. Now, the only thing that gives me peace, now you listen to this statement real carefully. The only thing that gives this sinner peace is to know that everything that God requires of me, He looks to His Son for. And that gives me peace. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the way of peace. Turn to 1 John chapter 4 for just a moment. I want you to look at this with me. 17. "Herein is our love made perfect." 1 John chapter 4, verse 17. "Herein is our love made perfect, mature and complete, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment." Now, how in the world is somebody going to have boldness in the day of judgment? "Because as he is." How is he? Is he holy? Is he accepted by the Father? Is he seated at the right hand of the Father? Is he secure? Is he perfectly righteous? "As he is, read the rest of the verse. Me too. Right now. Right now, in this world. You at peace with that? Oh, I don't feel peace. Well, I'll tell you why you don't feel peace. You're looking right in here. You don't deserve to feel peace. Look outside of yourself to Him. As He is, so are we in this world, the way of peace. Now, I like this one. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 20. He is called the new and living way. The new and living way. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 20. Now, this word new, you look this up on your own. I'm not just making this up. You look it up in the dictionary and you'll find it out. Strong's or whatever. This word new means literally freshly slaughtered. Freshly slain. This freshly slain way. What's the significance? Oh, my soul, how many times have you committed the same sin? Repeatedly. The sin that you confessed, the sin that you sought to forsake, the sin that you committed once again, and you go into your closet with an aching heart. Somebody sins against me once, I forgive them. Sometimes they sin against me twice, I forgive them. Three strikes, you're out, bud. What about 4,971 times? It's getting old. Yet the blood of Christ is always as if newly slain before the Father. Oh, the infinite satisfaction of the Father with the blood of His Son. It's always powerful. It's always fresh. As long as His blood is freshly slain before the Father, I'm freshly holy before the Father. Freshly slain, living as opposed to dead. Oh, the blood is always a sweet-smelling savor to the Father. Always new. Never old. Never old. I feel always must be getting old. Not in light of the blood. He's the new and the living way. The way is called by the Savior in Matthew chapter 7, verse 13, the narrow way. The narrow way. It is so narrow that you can't carry anything with you on it. That's how narrow this road is. No works to recommend you to God. It's a narrow way. How many times have I heard people complain about this? Too narrow. Well, would you prefer a wide bridge that only gets halfway across? Or a narrow bridge that takes you all the way over? Amazingly, most prefer this wide bridge. You and I would too, unless God did something for us. They like to carry things with them, but my dear friend, you can't get to the Father that way. You can only get to the Father this narrow way, so straight that you can't carry anything with you. What do I mean by that? When I hear the voice say, why should I let you into heaven? I'm a preacher. Not only am I a preacher, I'm a sovereign grace preacher. I haven't preached that Arminianism. I've stood for grace. I've been faithful. Is that why I'm going to let you into heaven? That ain't going to get anybody. No, as a matter of fact, if I was exposed, I wouldn't be pleading any of that, would I? I'd be... One reason why God let any sinner into heaven, including this one. Christ alone. Nothing in my hands I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. Foul I to the fountain fly, wash me, Savior, or I die. It's the narrow way. Listen to this. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. I want to read it to you. There is no temptation taken you that such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer us to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape. A way of escape, that you may bear it. Now, here's a verse of Scripture that used to always trouble me. Matter of fact, I didn't like it, to be honest with you. That's one of those passages of Scripture where you almost rather not read it. You know, you get there and you just kind of grit your teeth and get... because it seemed to me to be saying that with regard to temptation, and listen, I'm not in any way trying to give anybody an excuse for sin, but please listen to me. It seemed to be saying, you know, you can say no to sin. God's not going to let you be tempted above that which you're able. You can say no to it. You can pull yourself up by the boot. I mean, don't think that you can use this. You can say no to sin. No! No. How long's your resolution last? And I would look at it in that light. You can say no to sin, and I always feel a day late and a dollar short. And I'd say, well, tomorrow I'll do better. Tomorrow I'll do better. Did tomorrow ever come where I did better? Now, here's this way of escape. It's not you can say no to sin. I hope you do. I'm not... Please listen to me. I'm not giving anyone a justification or an excuse for sin in any way. John said, these things have I written unto you that you sin not. Yeah. Every believer ought to make it their aim to never sin again, beginning right now. This is no excuse for giving in to temptation. But say no to sin? No. What is the way of escape? It's looking to Christ. That's the way of escape. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 16, he says, above all these things, take the shield of faith, wherewith we shall quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. The fiery darts of the wicked are not going to be quenched by you saying no to them. It doesn't work that way. You look to Christ. You look to Him. That's the way of escape. He is the way of escape. Truly, He is, as Paul speaks in the last verse of 1 Corinthians 12, he says, I show unto you a more excellent way. A more excellent way. And read 1 Corinthians 13, the way of love. Truly it is the more excellent way. Now I'd like for you to turn to Acts 24 for a moment. Let's begin reading in verse 1. And after 5 days, Ananias, the high priest, descended with the elders and with a certain orator. Watch out for orators. Well, they can swing you. They can make public opinion go this way or that way, depending on how well they can speak. They can press on the emotions. There was a certain orator named Tertullus who informed the governor against Paul, and when he was called forth, Tertullus began to accuse him, saying, see, look at the way he starts up. Look at the way he starts. Seeing that by thee we enjoy great quietness, and that very worthy deeds are done unto this nation by thy providence, we accept it always and in all places, most noble Felix, with all thankfulness. Notwithstanding that I be not further tedious unto thee, I pray thee that thou wouldst hear us of thy clemency a few words. For we have found this man, Paul the Apostle. Apostle, he's a pest. He's a mover of sedition. He causes nothing but trouble. I mean, he's causing division. He's a pest. He's a ringleader of the sect of the Nazarenes, who also had gone about to profane the temple, whom we took and would have judged according to our law. But the chief captain, Lysias, came upon us and with great violence took him away out of our hands, commanding his accusers to come unto thee, by examining of whom thyself mayest take knowledge of all these things whereof we accuse him. And the Jews also assented, saying that these things were so. Then Paul, after that the governor had beckoned unto him to speak, answered, for as much as I know that thou hast been of many years a judge unto this nation, I do the more cheerfully answer for myself, because that thou mayest understand that there are yet but 12 days since I went up to Jerusalem to worship, and they neither found me in the temple disputing with any man, neither raising up the people, neither in the synagogue nor in the city, neither can they prove the things whereof they now accuse me. But this I confess unto thee, that after the way that they call heresy. Notice his wording. He didn't say, that's how I believe. That's how I worship. That's how I worship. Believing all things which are written in the law and the prophets. In this day, if you do not say, God loves everybody and wants to save everybody. Christ died for every man and made salvation possible and potential and available for everybody. If you don't say, God the Holy Spirit is knocking on everybody's door and wants everybody to be saved. If you don't say that, if you believe that God elected a people, and that only they will be saved. If you believe Christ died for the elect and accomplished their salvation, if you believe God the Holy Spirit invincibly calls them by His grace, the cry of this religious generation is, why, that's heresy. Paul says, I confess. I plead guilty. Guilty as charged. After the way, the way of Christ alone, the way of grace, the way of salvation in Him, no other way. After the way that they call heresy, I confess, that's how I worship. Not just how I believe, that's how I worship the God of my fathers, believing. How much? All things. Somebody says, well, what's a man got to believe to be saved? Everything God says. Believing all things that are written in the law and the prophets. Now there's one last scripture I want us to look at regarding the way. Would you turn to Mark 10? Mark chapter 10. One of my favorite characters in the scripture, verse 46, and they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with the disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side, begging. And when he had heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. Shut up, Bartimaeus. And he cried the more. A great deal. Thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still. Beloved, the only thing that will cause him to stand still is to cry for mercy. You cry for mercy, he'll stand still. You know, a lot of people were saying a lot of other things. He kept going. Wouldn't pay attention to them. But this is something he pays attention to. And he commanded him to be called, and they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. And he, casting away his garment, what do you reckon that represents? You can fill in the blank. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, go, what's that say next? Thy way. Set free. Go your way. Go your way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Amen.